ships for lead, and I watch them roll away again. Oh yeah, sit on the dock of the bay, watching the clouds roll away. Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua, Three Men and a Microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York, militaryexchange.co.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pro, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home. Use pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Welcome to Three Men and a Microphone, Canandaigua, 1310 WOKR. And I'm here with Mike Yarger from Canandaigua 2020, Armin Marinetti from Civil War Radio, and your host for today, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. Michael, how are you today?
Good. So we're going to come in with our events, and we've made it through Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. And here it is Saturday, December 2nd, and we've got a ton more stuff to do. We have all kinds of events coming up. And the first one you want to make sure you take care of is today is your recycle day. Now you can take all your big screen TVs that you can't get rid of or that they charge you so much money to get rid of and take them over to the Town of Bristol Highway Garage between 8 a.m. and 2 a.m. today. Now, in order to take them over there, you had to have called the County Cooperative Extension yesterday or previously to have set up an appointment, but they will take away, you know, your laptops, monitors, any kind of electronics that you're looking to recycle. And that includes those old big screen TVs that they want to charge you for now.
And I, when Tina and I, she did a piece on this. I think you were out of town.
Okay.
Check into it, but I believe Best Buy has a buyback program for electronics so that you can actually get store credit or money, because I know a guy who does something like that and drags tons of laptops and stuff like that into Best Buy.
Right.
Because there's money in the recyclables. And yeah, there used to be a place down here in Victor that was tearing apart laptops and stuff.
Right.
And you guys probably, I want to make mention that Tina's not here today. And our prayers are with her because her mom was in an auto accident, and we're not sure how bad it is, but that's why you're hearing us three and Tina's not here this morning.
Right.
Absolutely, yes. We have been remembering Tina and her mom in our prayers.
Right.
And we hope you do so also at home.
Right. So moving on, we've got Breakfast with Santa. This is going to be at St. Mary's School from 9 to 11, again today. It's only $5 per person. If you're 3 and under, it's free. So it doesn't cost you anything to have breakfast with Santa if you're 3 and under. Tim, you don't qualify.
What if I walk in? What about Santa? Does Santa get to eat free?
Get dressed
well,
up.
Maybe, yeah.
I already got my first insult.
A fake Santa.
Of the winter.
You got an insult.
Oh, I just get a text out of the blue from Craig the Spaz Man Simmons.
Yeah.
Hey, got any Santa Claus outfits in your... I go, yeah, let me check my closet, and I'll get back to you. What is that? Why do you call me up and ask me if I got Santa Claus suits? Because I'm a big guy?
No. He's
I got a
big guy.
Beard?
He probably needs
so
one.
So he turned to the only other big guy.
Well, you got a store here, right?
Do I have
He's
Santa
trying
Claus.
To give you some business.
If I said to you, you got Santa Claus suits in your closet, you'd go, what? Right there.
No, I would not, because I'm civil.
I was going to swear in Italian, but there's Italian listeners, so.
Okay, so that breakfast with Santa from 9 to 11 this morning. So as soon as I'm off, you finish listening to this program, you need to head over to St. Mary's. When you finish at St. Mary's, you can head right across the street to the United Methodist Church. And today, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., they're having their holiday bazaar. Okay? And what exactly that is, I have no idea. I assume it's like an arts and crafts kind of sale. Okay? But it's free admission. They're not charging you to get in. So that you've got that going on. And if that isn't enough, if your day is still lacking, well, okay. At Sonnenberg's, they're having a Dickens Christmas. That's today from 12 to 4. Now, that's going to cost you $7 per person, unless you're 5 or under. Then it's free. And they're going to have carols with the Sweet Adelines. They'll have the Merryton Assembly Dancers. And at 2 o'clock, they're going to have a reading of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." They're also asking if you're coming in addition to your $7, that you bring a canned good for the Gleaner's Kitchen. And you all know the Gleaner's Kitchen provides food for the needy here in Canandaigua. All right? You're all Christmased out at this point? No! We got more going on. The Finger Lakes Camarada is performing today at 3 p.m. So leave the Dickens thing. Head over to the Camarada. That's at Farmington Friends Church, 187 County Road 8 in Farmington. Now, that is free. That's a free concert. The Finger Lakes Camarada is a group from the FLCC that perform around the area. And they do a lot of acapella songs, whatever. Right. So they've
Someone
already
done... sings by themselves.
Yeah, no instruments.
Right, no instruments. So... that should be a good performance. It's happening at 3 p.m. That's a free event, but they are taking donations, and any of those donations will go to support student scholarships. Now, certainly, you're all Christmased out. No! We got another one here. Tuba Christmas is today. Okay, registration and practice is from 2:30 to 3:45 above one Source Antiques at 175 South Main Street. And then their performance is going to be at 4 p.m. at the Commons Park Gazebo.
For tubas?
For tubas. So we're going to have tuba Christmas music. So is that enough for you yet today?
I'm exhausted.
I would be too. So let's kick it over to Sunday. And Santa's going to be visiting at Kohl's in Eastview December 3rd and December 10th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. So you want to make sure, stop over, visit Santa there.
You know, if you had to have a day where you wanted to just do nothing and not really spend a lot of money, it sounds like you could get through the whole day and,
pretty
you know,
cheap.
Under $20 or
right,
something.
Right, yeah. Right. And then Sunday, December 3rd also, they're having the 39th annual Messiah sing-along. The rehearsal for that one's going to be at 1 o'clock. The performance is at 3 o'clock. and that's at the First Congregational Church at 58 North Main Street here in Canandaigua.
Jesus is going to make an appearance?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. He usually doesn't make his appearance until Christmas Day. You know, they usually keep
that. Well, it's the Messiah sing-along. I mean,
right.
I'm expecting Jesus to show up.
Okay, Jesus is going to sing along, you think?
I hope
okay.
He's there.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble
also,
now.
Also a reminder.
He will be there in spirit for sure.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Also a reminder, Santa's going to be in his house at the Commons in downtown Canandaigua. He's there every Thursday through Sunday from now until Christmas Eve. On Thursdays and Fridays, he's there from 6 to 8 p.m. And on Saturdays and Sundays, he's there from 12 until 4. Okay? Another event coming up, Wood Library and Literacy Volunteers are presenting A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. That's on Friday, December 15th. 6:30 is the prologue, and 7:30 is the performance.
I got to interrupt for 1 second. Last Saturday, we had family visiting from out of town, and they had two young kids, a young boy, 8 years old, a young girl, 5 years old. And we walked Main Street in Canandaigua, and it was fun. We had a good time. We stopped at places like the Unique Toy Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Renaissance 2, Oliver's.
Oh, you came in here.
Yeah.
F. Oliver's.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
With
the canteen.
That's right. That's yeah, right.
The little boy got a canteen.
That's right. We came into Iron Mike's Military Exchange as well. And they really enjoyed that. So we did like we were talking, try to keep it local. Yeah,
right.
That was fun. And they took that free horse and carriage.
Right. The wagon ride.
The wagon ride. The wagon ride. And they really enjoyed that too.
Very nice. Yeah, it's good to enjoy,
mm-hmm.
you know, your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, so on December 7th, you'll have another opportunity. There's a community support center that's having a raffle. Now, tickets are $2, or you can get 3 for $5, and these are like gift baskets that they're raffling off. You can get your tickets at 120 North Main Street, Office 37A. Or you could speak to Renee Campbell. Her phone number is 585-481-7277 or 585-396-4554. Moving on, there's angel trees. Now, do you guys know what angel trees are?
And how to make a snow angel.
Yeah, that's a little different.
I think so. Is that what Wade's used to put in front of their grocery store every year where you go in and pick a card off the tree, and then you provide that gift?
Right.
Is that?
Right.
Okay.
So that's the idea behind an angel tree, is they usually put requests for gifts up on these trees, and people walking in can pick one of these up, you know, fulfill the request, and, you know, return the gift and, you know, dispose of the ornament. Usually they're ornament shapes.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So there's angel trees at Walmart, at Thompson Hospital, at Canandaigua National Bank, and at Finger Lakes Federal Credit Union. So those are the ones that I know of for sure in the area. So if you're looking to do something nice for somebody, you might want to stop by one of these angel trees. Also, on December 13th, there's going to be a holiday prism concert. That's not prison, that's prism. Okay, and this is actually put on by the students at the Canandaigua High School. And there's actually 288 student musicians who perform in this concert. It's absolutely free, but it does require you to get a ticket. And the tickets have to be picked up on Tuesday, December 5th, from 6 to 7 p.m. in the evening at the Canandaigua Academy Atrium. Okay, and there's a maximum of 4 tickets per person. So you can't get any more than 4 per person. And this thing always sells out. And basically what happens is you go into the venue where they're singing at the high school, and they have some performances on stage, but also they'll have performances all of a sudden popping up in the audience around you. So these students kind of intermingle in with the audience. And all of a sudden, some of them will pop up and Maybe one will start singing a solo or another will start playing his instrument or whatever. And, you know, so you become actually engulfed in this holiday music. So it's a pretty neat opportunity.
This is where I need Ronnie because, I don't know, for some reason I'm getting visions of whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole?
I don't know why. I'm
just because kidding. People are popping up, that's why.
I'm such a Grinch. I can't help it.
Okay, so also at the high school, the Canandaigua cheerleaders are going to hold a breakfast with the Grinch and Cindy Lou Who. Now, I'm not telling you who playing the role of the Grinch.
Oh, I'm Cindy Lou Who.
We're all looking at him.
Yeah, I'm Cindy Lou Who. That's me.
Yeah, you fit Cindy Lou. So that's going to be December 10th. From 8 to 10:45, that's at Charlie Rydell's. And you know you always get a great breakfast at Charlie Rydell.
He gets paid for this. Yeah.
The tickets are only $5, and you can get your photo taken with the Grinch and Cindy Lou.
You come into Iron Mike's, I'll give you a picture of the Grinch. I'm a professional Grinch.
So that covers all the events occurring around our city for the next couple of weeks that I'm familiar with that have been posted on Canandaigua 2020. And when we come back, we'll give
events.
You the rest of the news. All yeah, right. That's 4 pages of events.
It is. I mean, it really is a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay, when we come back, we will be back with
the rest of the news.
The rest of the news.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up. At Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Okay, welcome back. And here we are with the rest of the Canandaigua 2020 news. And we want to mention that on our last program, they were still searching for Monica Zello. And unfortunately, we're sorry to report that she was found, her car was found in the canal, and she has passed away. The police do not find the circumstances suspicious, and her funeral was yesterday from 4 to 7 at Johnson Kennedy's in Bloomfield. But our prayers and wishes go out to the Zello family, her husband Chad, daughter Jasmine, her mother, and her two brothers.
I thought they did rule it as possible homicide.
That's not what I've heard.
I haven't heard anything.
Well, it's very sad. Of course, our prayers are with the family.
Right.
And if there's more to the story, we'll definitely bring it.
Right. Okay. And then moving up to Rochester here for a brief moment, if you get an opportunity, yesterday they had the keg lighting, right? Up at Genesee Brewery, they stack kegs of beer, and they actually stacked this year 430 kegs of beer into the shape of a Christmas tree. They light that thing up. It was lit up yesterday, and it stays lit all during the season. So if you get up to Rochester, it's going to be a hard thing to miss seeing.
That's cool.
Yep.
I still have, every now and then, I'll go get a Genesee beer. That's always,
just for old time's sake, right?
Yeah, it's kind of what I was raised on. So.
Yeah.
Do you like the taste?
I do. I like their 12 horse.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
the best.
Uh-huh.
And they do have a good stout as well. We were raised on Jenny Cream Ale. Back when we were kids, you could start drinking at 18. Some of us
started a little before
that. A little bit earlier, yeah. And you could get Cream Ale at a good price. And I have family that's worked there for many, many years, too. So I like their product. They're good. They make a good product.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that we get away from stuff that's homemade, you know, from our area.
Right.
We should, you know, every bar should at least offer that.
Yeah.
You know, I know the big thing now is craft beer, but other than the people we had on the air and the taste of their beer, which, do you remember the name of those guys? It was three.
I might have missed that.
Three Bears?
There's three Huskies.
Well, what the comeback?
There's three brothers.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many local breweries now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, most of the craft beers taste like an orange peel. You know, I mean, yeah. if that's what you're into. But that one that we had, I just can't think of the name of it. I could go into the and pull it up for the end of the show. But I like the craft beer idea.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, most of them just taste like an orange peel. And I don't even get that. That to me, I don't even know what that has to do with beer.
Is it okay for me to mention that here in the city, the Green Front on Niagara Street has an old-fashioned open cooler of ice that they call Dad's Canned Beer.
Right.
And you'll find Genesee.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Utica Club.
Yep.
Schlitz.
Yep.
Schmitz.
Right.
Can you think of any other old names?
There's the one I used to drink. Huh. I'm embarrassed to say it. I was embarrassed back then to drink it. Hams.
Oh, I remember Hams. Yeah.
Dollar a six-pack, Mike.
Dollar a six-pack.
Yeah.
Who can't afford that?
Did you ever buy red, white, and blue beer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a dollar.
Pabst, red, white, and blue?
I don't know if Pabst made it. They may have made it, but I remember the label on the can was red, white, and blue beer. And it looked like a Budweiser can, which, you know, Pabst uses the same color. So Pabst or Bud, I'm not sure who made it, but it was 99 cents a six-pack. Can't get half a beer for that.
That's right.
You can't get a short beer at a bar for that now.
Right. So Avon Inn, y'all remember that?
Yep.
It's a local historic structure over there in Avon. They shut down for a brief period of time. They're going to be reopening.
Okay.
And the reopening is going to occur on New Year's Eve. So they have a tap room or whatever that's going to be open over there. And then the rooms themselves will be available to rent starting in April, I believe. I got to tell you, we have so much fun on Canandaigua 2020. We have our good friend who does the Canandaigua Onion, Kent Fletcher. And he put one on there this week about the Kershaw horse. Now, we all know there's this big fiberglass horse that they put down at Kershaw Park. And it was part of that Horses on Parade that they had a number of years ago. And that horse still is there. And Kent wrote a story about how a Meg, your mind up, was complaining that the horse's privates were exposed to the children. And how there ought to be a pair of pants on this fiberglass horse. Well, I got to tell you, it was so funny reading all the responses from people. Some of them realized, of course, right away that this was satire, that this was not a true story. And other people kept saying, man, this woman has nothing to do.
Because she was complaining about
it. Because she was complaining about a fiberglass horse's privates being exposed.
So this is a joke, right? This horse doesn't work for one of the major news networks.
That's true. Doesn't work for any of the NBC.
Right. You have to expose yourself if you want to work for those networks.
Apparently.
There you go. Right?
Right.
Did you remember my... see, Kent and I are cut from the same cloth. I love fake satire news anyways. Remember that I told you the story where I was driving through... it was actually Brockport, but we pretended it was somewhere out this way. And I saw the naked mannequins in the window.
Oh,
so
yes. Oh,
I
yes.
saw the number. I looked up the number. This is when cell phones were first coming out. And the number on the building of this dress shop So I called him up, and I did this on my own, just for my own fun. And I said, you know, I'm Reverend Peterson, and we're driving by your shop on a Sunday morning with a busload of church kids, and your mannequins are completely naked. Now I have to explain that, and the guy's going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It was late last night, I forgot to get them all dressed up. When I came back through, every mannequin was covered with a white sheet. Every one of them, completely hidden. And I, you know, of course I laughed, but I actually felt bad that this guy actually went and took it seriously enough to do that. But
yeah, you felt real bad about
that.
No,
I did in a way, but it was so much fun to get him going, you know. I just get it with this Kent guy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he had 158 replies to that posting. I mean, they were hilarious. If you get a chance, go over and check that out.
So this horse has no anatomy?
It really has no anatomy exposed.
And everybody's upset about it. It's
beautiful. Right. Right, but even
it just
better,
shows you how we are.
Mm-hmm. Even better, there's mm-hmm. a fellow named Matty James, and he's trying to give Kent a run for the money. So he shows this picture of this cougar in like a sink being washed, and he's talking about how he found this cat outside and fed it 3 cans of tuna and brought it in and cleaned all the mud off of it and like that. And the cat, I mean, you could see his hand in there, and you could see the size of the cat compared to his hand, and you know this is no domesticated cat, right? Well, people were like, I don't know. That doesn't look like a domesticated cat to me. So he ended up with 222 replies to his posting and 342 likes. So he's giving Kent a run for his money. Kent may have to step up his game. Okay. We also had a story this week that the folks over at Bristol Harbor Village Association are going to be taking the town of South Bristol to court. Why? Because they're seeing a 64% increase in their sewer rate. They're saying it's unjust, unfair, and unreasonable. In addition, it's irrational, arbitrary, and capricious. So, the average homeowner is apt to see their sewer rates rise from $504 a year to $893 a year for the average homeowner. So, that's about $900 a year. Now, that Bristol Harbor was purchased by Todd and Laura Cook. Todd and Laura Cook are some folks who made some money up in the Rochester area. They invented something or whatever, and they took their fortunes and bought a property down here in Canandaigua. Then they wanted to put a spa in, Everwild Spa. And there were a lot of complaints from the community about having this commercial structure put up on the hill right near Bristol, right next to the Bristol Harbor. So one of the complaints that came out of that was, well, there's going to be problems when it comes to all the sewage from this spa. I mean, how are you going to be able to handle that? There's just not enough property there to deal with that properly. So they went ahead and bought Bristol Harbor, which incidentally had its own sewer treatment plant. So the Cooks now own that sewer treatment plant, and they're the ones who are behind the 64% increase in the sewer rate for the people at Bristol Harbor Village.
How is a sewage treatment plant not a municipality?
Because not all sewer treatment plants are part of municipality. Bristol Harbor, when it was built so far out away from the towns and villages and like that, that none of the towns were willing to put a sewer treatment plant there. But the density of housing with all those condominiums was so great that there was no way to put a septic system in that would cover all the sewage. Hence, the private developer had to put in his own sewer treatment plant. Right? So the people who bought those condos are reliant on that sewer treatment plant to handle their sewage.
And along comes someone who saw an advantage. And well, took it. That's what
right.
business is.
That's right.
But the increase of $300 more
a year, 64% increase
per resident. Wow.
Wow. No, per structure, not per resident.
Oh, wow.
Okay, right. I mean, you might have 10 people living in your condominium. So.
Well, we're not that restaurant up the road that has families living in the basement. No, I mean,
okay. But these residents are also facing a 116% hike in their water rates because the water is also supplied by guess who? Mm-hmm. Todd and Laura Cook. So,
well, Todd and Laura Cook, you know what? Come on down. We'll give you your voice on the air and explain to us, you know, maybe you can justify the increase. Maybe you spent money on, you know, upkeep or modernizing things.
Or maybe nothing's been done with it for a long time, and maybe the folks that are down there,
it was time to change it,
right, have not had their rates increased for a good number of years, and now they're having to swallow a large increase because...
What do you pay a year for water?
I have no idea. My wife pays all my bills. I never even look at the bills. So,
oh, you too, huh?
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing that I think I'm somewhere in the $90 per 3 month range. So basically $30.
So about $300 a year.
Yeah, $360.
So $300 a year compared to $800 a year.
Almost $900. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Who owned it before they bought it? Was it owned by the town of Bristol? Or
no,
Bristol Harbor.
Bristol Harbor was owned by the family that built it. And their name right now is escaping me.
But the sewer and water is part of Bristol Harbor, the business?
Is part of Bristol Harbor, the golf course, the business, the condominiums, the whole ball of wax.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. So,
you know, in my point of view, you and I are similar in that we don't like big government, but it seems something like water and sewer would be a natural fit for government to manage,
mm-hmm.
because you can see where, you know, private enterprise, you have to make a profit to make the business worth doing. If you're going to lose money or just break even, after a while you're going to scratch your head and say, why am I doing this? So they must have done their homework and determine that these new rates are comparable and needed to stay open.
One would think, you know, but I guess the water rates go before the Public Service Commission, those have to be approved by the Public Service Commission.
So these are all proposed.
Well, okay, so the water rate is proposed. The sewer rate has been approved by South Bristol, which is why they're the ones being taken to court, right? But the Bristol Harbor Village Association, they're in South Bristol. They're South Bristol taxpayers. Basically, what they're saying is they're taking themselves to court, and they're going to be suing themselves and paying both sides, right? Because their taxes are going to be paying for the lawyers,
right? Yep.
So I don't see them making out well in this case. But, you know, the lawyers will say, oh, you got a strong case here. And, of course, they say that because their pockets will get filled. So,
yeah. And we'll forget, the same lawyers that say, let's go, let's fight, they go out on Sunday and they golf together. So, whatever, right?
Right.
More than likely, you could have shook hands and come to a cheaper agreement.
Right. So, are you all ready for some seafood?
Okay. Oh, I seafood, I eat it.
Yeah. Well, that former Schooner's restaurant is supposed to be opening as Catch 407 restaurant, and that's happening either December 1st, yesterday, or December 5th, and it depends upon who you talk to, which is actually the case. So what I suspect is happening is they're probably having some type of a soft opening on the 1st, and they'll have their official grand opening on December 5th. So after that, you'll be able to go and try out their seafood and see what you think. Did you hear this week that dogs are smarter than cats? They said dogs have twice as many neurons firing in their brains than cats do, and that dogs are actually smarter than cats. And I have to say, over the years, I've had some pretty sharp dogs. I don't own cats because I have allergies to cats. But I have always seen cats as being pretty standoffish, where the dogs, they seem to be able to perform some pretty amazing tricks sometimes. I've also had Dumb Dog, so maybe it varies by breed.
I've had both dogs and cats. Dogs are more fun, for sure. Cats, though, they're smart enough not to go catch that ball when you throw it. I mean, they're pretty independent, cats. So I don't know if that means that they're smarter or just more stubborn. But they're fun to have around.
That's funny because I'm having a little argument, I guess, with my cat. I don't know what's going on. She's ignoring me. Won't come over and sit next to me on the couch like she always does. She's sitting over there on her stupid cardboard box that she's claimed, and we leave it now in the dining room just for her to sit on. Whatever.
Very it's independent.
3 days now. Yeah. I'm going, come on, sit next to me while we watch TV. Nope. Nope. I'm silly, but I'm attached to that. Now right. I have to figure out the...
Shook them back.
Did I run out of treats?
Yeah, they'll come back.
You know
back.
What my wife says?
What?
She's just flat out warmer. She's warmer than I am on the couch. So the cat just goes over there now. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I think I ticked the cat off.
I have a cat like that that comes, as soon as I sit down, jumps on my lap. And the last couple of days, hasn't been doing that. So I just figure they go through changes just like we do. Eventually, she'll come back. You know, for now, just let her be. And
yeah, I do that with my wife, too. Sometimes she refuses to sit next to me, and I'm like, well, I must have done something to piss her off. And just let it be and hope it works itself out.
Oh, I'm not going to touch that.
Okay, moving on. Mike Halfhine and Delum Lenker. These were a couple people who were involved in the oil business out west, and they got out of that and moved east, and they're opening a Finger Lakes sausage and beer. It's actually, they purchased it from Paul and Laura Bentz, and that's located at 8 Linden Street in Geneva. Finger Lakes sausage and beer. They plan to expand the menu to include wings and nachos and some wine. So sounds like a good move on their part. And I don't know if you remember about Linden Street. I think we've talked about this before. But Geneva spent some money to turn that street into a pedestrian street. So during the week, cars can run up and down that street. But on weekends, they close it off. And that's where they allow people to sit outside and have outdoor seating and things of this nature. Not as nice this time of year, right? But it's a nice thing to have in the summer months in particular. So they're hoping, I think, to capitalize on that with their restaurant.
Sounds like so. They could use some cast iron skillets.
You might want to check it out.
Where would you get that? At castironmikes.com.
Cast Iron Mikes, huh? Check that out.
Wasn't there talk in Canandaigua of doing something similar on Phoenix Street?
Yeah, there's this pain in the ass guy called Mike Yarger who every year goes before the city council and tells them they ought to turn Phoenix Street into a pedestrian street. And city council came down to Phoenix Street. They walked the street. They said, you know, turning this into a pedestrian street would probably be a good idea. But the problem is they never set money aside to do it. And this year they actually applied for a $10 million grant that ended up going to Batavia instead of Canandaigua. So part of that $10 million was supposed to go towards converting Phoenix Street into a pedestrian street, which is still my dream that someday that may happen. So.
It is kind of a little nooky, cute place. That if you just did a little bit of a fix-up to it, I could picture, like, outdoor vendors or some kind of, like, a bizarre type.
Right, you could have a street festival there, you know, like we used to have Italian festivals in Canandaigua, right? Outdoor Italian festivals. We haven't had one of those in years. So it'd be nice, something nice to bring back.
You could see it,
and, yeah. Right, set up tables. And I'll tell you, one of the real benefits of it, from my opinion, okay, is some of the restaurants on Main Street, they set up tables out on Main Street, but nobody wants to sit at those tables. Why? Because you got the noise of the traffic going up and down. four lanes of traffic going up and down Main Street. Nobody wants to sit there and try to talk to the person across from them at the table while they're dealing with all this traffic noise. So if you put it over on side street, you get away from that noise of the traffic. You can actually hear the person who's talking to you. But you could still get your food from the restaurant right there on Main Street, you know, whether it be Simply Crepes or Thai by Night, Nick's Chop House, you know, and bring the food over there.
See, that idea for Phoenix Street might be a better use of something like a community development block grant of $400,000,
yeah,
than what's being proposed, or maybe that's not the right word, definitely going to be used for. I would much rather see money from a block grant go to a project on Phoenix Street than to rebuild a restaurant for extra parking and seating.
Right, but we don't know that grant's ever going to be given. So it's been applied for, but it hasn't been awarded. So
we can only hope.
But we will see. So another suggestion came up on Canandaigua 2020 was to take senior citizens on bike rides around town. Somebody thought this would be a good idea to have a bike that's like a rickshaw, right? And put senior citizens in it and pedal around town and, you know, take them back maybe to the neighborhoods that they grew up in and let them tell you stories of that, you know. Maybe take them to the parks that they played in when they were kids and, you know, that might seem like a good idea, but they have this thing called an automobile, and I think it's probably a better idea to put them in someplace warm like an automobile and drive them around. You can do the same thing. You know, park at one of the parks and say, hey, you remember playing here as a kid?
Well, you should give the homeless a job as for pulling the rickshaw.
Okay, but this is a bicycle.
And then put the old folks in there.
As opposed to
fleece them for
one.
Their money. That would be a good idea. And then you could just drive them around the neighborhood and you could tell them, look, no, really, this is where you grew up. They aren't going to remember anyways. What a, you know, that's a notion, I guess. But I like the idea of giving the homeless a job pulling the rickshaw. They get a little sign, advertise, you know.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the homeless because Cindy Newman is working on trying to help the homeless here in Canandaigua. She's been very involved with the veterans and collecting gloves and, you know, warm weather gear for the veterans. And this time of year, it gets really cold. And she's saying, you know, it's more than the veterans that are out there facing the elements on their own. And she was hoping that in Canandaigua, they could do something to help the homeless. Well, there's also an organization called Nowhere to Go. And Nowhere to Go was started, I think, probably going back about 5 years ago, where pretty much a lot of people in the community were saying the same thing, that we really ought to do something to help the homeless. And they've actually been very involved in helping the homeless and working with the organizations that help the homeless. So whether it's a veterans organization, and we've seen the Liberty Square project over here that's opened up in the last few years, where they have apartments for housing the homeless veterans. I mean, that's the primary purpose of that structure. And then they also, you know, collect coats and hats and gloves and things like that for the people who choose to live in the elements. But nobody's forced to live in the elements. Everybody who wants to have a place to live can have a place to live, even if it's on a temporary basis, like in one of the area flop houses or things like that. You know, they have organizations that will put them up and will give them a warm place, you know, to get a shower and things like that. And we have soup kitchens here where people can get fed. I was talking earlier about the Gleaners program. So there's a lot of resources available in our community for those who are down on their luck. The Blessing Box is another one. Jeff Marinelli down at 99 Chapin Street put up the Blessing Box in memory of his son Noah.
Got a phone number for...
I don't have a phone number for Jeff, but...
You're homeless, and I want them to use a phone to call.
Right, to call Jeff or...
Well, they might not even have... I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, like, for the place to get inside, especially when that first crack a winter gets, but then where are they going to get a phone to call? And
right. There's actually, the police officers and like that go out when the weather gets really cold, and they look for these homeless people, and they try to convince them, you know, hop in the car, I'll take you to a place, and we'll get you warmed up and, you know, get you a warm shower and things like that. So, you know, our first responders are really the frontline people for dealing with these types of situations.
You know, most people don't realize you're three paychecks away from being homeless. Mm-hmm. You have a mortgage, lose a job, mm-hmm. lose your car because you lost your job, you couldn't make the payments. Within three more months, you could be evicted. Now you have no home, no car to get to work, and you had no job anyways. Boom. You think you're secure, just like that, you could be homeless too.
Yeah, it's sad and it's true, and I wish there were ways to help some of these people that are down and out. And the hardest part, in my opinion, is that they have to participate in helping to do the improvement, and that's where the hard line is, because some of them don't know how. So now, what do? With a person that may choose to be destitute because of their lack of participation. And I feel harsh saying that, but a lot of times desire is a huge driving factor in all of us. So we've been brought up where you take care of yourself, you have a home, you have a business. Some people just give up on all that. How do you change that? That's the hardest part. Because you can give them the materials that they need to eat, to stay warm, to be in a shelter. But if they don't join in with that desire, you'll be doing that forever and ever.
Right.
And that's hard. That's sad. Especially this time of year, it's even worse. It gets cold.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. And a lot of our first responders are seeing the same type of thing with the use of Narcan, right? A lot of the drug addicts are basically killing themselves with their injections, and they're using the Narcan to bring them back, and they're using it over and over again. And, you know, people are saying, well, aren't we wasting our money on these people? Well, okay, if it were me, I would hope that people would waste money on me, and, you know, that at some point I may come to my senses, and, you know, more likely I'm going to end up dead at some point anyways, you know, from my addiction. But I would like people to take every opportunity they can to do what they can for anybody to keep them alive and give them another chance. So,
okay, when we come back, we'll be coming back with
A discussion of Pam Helming and Joe Morelli.
Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
The Military Exchange.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR. And we're going to talk about local politics.
Okay, so Pam Helming and Joe Morelli have been very busy. They're looking to regulate the sale and usage of an item called Kratom. Have you heard of that?
No,
I haven't heard of that. Okay, so Kratom is actually made from the leaves of a tree in Southeast Asia. And they fear that this could be a gateway drug to other addictive substances like opioids. Apparently, it's in the opioid family, these leaves are. And they said they're being sold like right next to stuff that kids buy. And right now, there's no regulations, you know, no restrictions on age or anything like that. So they're trying to get this legislation passed, and part of the legislation would direct the New York State Department of Health to conduct a study on the benefits and the risks of this Kratom.
And what product are they in?
I have no idea. I think that what they do is they sell a pill, and I don't know what the name of the pill is, but the pill apparently is some kind of, you know, over-the-counter, you know, health thing or whatever that's actually part of the opioid family, and they're finding that a lot of kids are using it to get high.
Boy, the kids do the study, don't they? They learn this stuff. I don't know
well,
how they
I'm
do
telling
it.
You. I mean, really, and it's hard to keep up with everything. I mean, what was the stuff they used to sell in the head shops here?
They were like poppy seed type of thing.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that, you know, and artificial or manufactured marijuana kind of stuff, you know. And I had some tenants who got, you know, hooked up into that kind of stuff, and it's bad news. I mean, it's bad for their health to start with, but it also wrecks their lives. So you hate to see that kind of thing, and I'm glad to see that Pam and Joe are taking a real lead on this. I mean, they're talking about legislating something that very few of us know anything about. That's how on the cutting edge they are.
And
so
what's good about those two is that Senator Helming mm-hmm. is a Republican from the 54th Senate District here in New York. She's
right.
my state senator.
Mm-hmm.
And Assemblyman Joe Morelli, he's up in the Rondacoit area. I want to say I think it's the 136th Assembly District. I've been in contact with his office recently because Pam is a supporter of a application for an Article 5 Convention of States.
Right.
And Joe Morelli is the Assembly Majority Leader, so it would be nice to have him
co-sponsor it or something along those lines.
Yes,
absolutely.
Because then you have a representation from both the Republicans and the Democrats, one in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
Ms. Helming,
right,
and one in the Assembly.
Right.
So it's good to see that here's people that are on different sides of the aisle.
But working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to see that in politics. We also had our third accident in a week at the intersection of Route 488 and State Route 21. That intersection's in Chapin, just a little, you know, town, village between Hamlet, really, between Canandaigua and Shortsville, Manchester area. And why that intersection's had so many accidents in such a short period of time, I don't know. Didn't seem to be that bad previously. Maybe it's just the luck of the draw. I don't know. But that's something that I'm hoping the state DEC will take a look at and will do something about. I want to move on to a couple of stories here from the national news. Before I do that, though, I should mention, anybody in the market for a birdcage?
Up for sale now?
Well,
big?
There's a tax lien sale coming up on the third Friday in December. So anybody who hasn't paid their taxes in the city of Canandaigua, their property could go up on the auction block. Now, one of the problems is that right up to the last minute, you can come in and pay your tax bill, and it comes down off from the thing. But as of this moment, the big bird cage down there on Lakeshore Drive is on that tax lien sale scheduled for the third Friday in December.
That would be December 15th, so the three of us, I think, should go down there.
Pool our money and see if we can pay off the taxes on that. Now, it should be mentioned that the Medley Center, that huge mall structure up in Rondacoit, was acquired in the same manner that was sold at a tax lien auction.
Well, he got it really cheap, didn't he?
And he did.
Yeah.
He got a huge structure. Of course, some people say it's a huge headache, but he got a lot of assets for very little money.
You're stuck with what, paying the back taxes? Or
right, you have to pay the back taxes on it, plus 10%.
What is the tax on the birdcage right now?
I don't know what's that up to right now.
I did hear, though, that there's also a mechanics lien.
Yes, there is a mechanics lien on it as well.
And I heard that was over $3 million.
Would you get stuck with that if it gets sold off?
Yes. Yeah, they can't do anything with that property until the mechanics lien is paid.
Still, all in all, that land, paying off the mechanics lien and the back taxes, could be far cheaper.
Well, the big thing's going to be getting approval for whatever you want to do with that property.
Boat storage. Elevated boat storage.
Yeah. It's just what a terrible eyesore.
Yeah.
I hope it does get taken away and given to someone else.
Yeah.
And hopefully that is the good reason or a good answer.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, that a very dear person I grew up very close to on the television set has passed away. Jim Nabors used to be on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Then he got his own program with Sarge. What is it? Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle, USMC.
USMC, yep. Right? And we all remember Gomer Pyle and Jim
Griffith.
Nabors. And
did you ever hear him sing?
No,
he has an incredible voice.
Tenor, right? That deep, real deep tenor,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Is
well,
what
like
they call
a baritone.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard on the radio just yesterday that he made more money selling albums for him singing than he did as a TV personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he had a great voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And he never believed that he was going to be successful. He went out to Hollywood hoping that he'd be able to use his voice skills. He was hoping to do like voiceover kind of type work because when he was young, he was sick and he spent a lot of time in bed. So while he was spending time in bed, he played with his voice and he learned to make all kinds of sounds and things like this with his voice that were very unique. So he's hoping to use that in Hollywood. And he went out there and he got a job as a bar in a bar working evening singing. And one day Andy Griffith walked in and heard him singing and convinced him to come and be on the Andy Griffith Show, where he became a regular and then got his own show.
Yeah, that's cool, because when you talk about singers, they talk about, well, good voice, but they don't have a wide enough range. And so by practicing with his voice, he increased his range. And then maybe you've heard him sing tenor, I've heard him sing baritone, and that's a huge plus because then you're not stuck in a box.
Right.
Now, but in homage of Jim Nabors, we know somebody who can do a Gomer.
Really? Who's that?
You.
Well, golly. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
I think you got it.
I don't know how well that'll come across, but I certainly enjoyed hearing Jim Nabors say these things when he was entertaining us on the television. So, you know, we'll all miss him a great deal. And I didn't know this about Jim Nabors. Apparently he was gay and he was married. And you know what? None of that makes any difference. You know, he was somebody who really had a good heart and who entertained millions of people. And, was a great asset to our lives.
Oh, so. That's right.
Do you remember what his occupation was on Andy of Mayberry? Can you remember? I think I remember, but I want to...
He was a mechanic.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Right.
That's what I was remembering him as. He worked at the local gas station.
Yep.
He was
a
there,
mechanic.
And then when he went off to the Marine Corps, which he did, they brought him back and forth.
Yep.
Right.
And then there was... Who's the guy that took over?
I don't remember
Goober?
Who took
over. Goober.
Goober. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, Goober took over for Gomer.
For Gomer, yeah.
And I always wanted to find out that Sarge and Gomer Pyle, if he had gone on to other movies and used that same, you know.
Persona?
Yeah, and I think he did, but I never could quite tie it. That's the game we play. We play the Kevin Bacon
thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we see an actor... in a new thing, we'll make a comment about the old thing and tie them together. This is our thing, you know, at home, me and the wife. But I don't know. I never could tie that sergeant into something else.
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah. So maybe, Tim, you could play us off the air with some music from Jim Nabors.
All right. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, we hope you enjoy your holiday Christmas shopping experience.
Plenty to do.
Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family.
Be safe.
Yep.
Right. And thanks for turning on and tuning in.
And be civil.
All right. That was fun.
Good show.
Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. We are your premier full-service pet salon. Call to make an appointment, 585-355-4761.